mean, it only makes sense, really, when you think of it. We are people who are going against the kingdom of darkness. So we are an enemy to the devil. And the devil would want to kill his enemies. And if he could, he'd do it. But we have the power of God in us to stop the enemy from doing that very thing. Now, one of the reasons why I talked about a little bit earlier about when you come to a meeting and you begin to hear someone, you begin to listen to somebody, and as they begin to speak to you, you have to come with an attitude that God can speak to me in the midst of this. Because the things that are shared from a natural perspective are not going to be the things that you need in order to live through the days ahead. There has to be supernatural revelation come in order for us to walk in the things of God. I believe that God has called me the pastor of this church. I believe that, but you know what? You have to have more than what you can get from me. I mean, you have to get more than what you can get from me in order to live for God. There might be some things that God is able to get to you through me, but for me and myself, you know, what I've developed through natural learning and so forth, I haven't really got anything to offer. Oh, there's a few things that I've noticed throughout life that I could say, yeah, this will work and that will work. But you're going to experience way more in life than what I would ever have an answer for. You have to believe that you're going to get something from God. That you're going to get an anointing, a power that's going to increase in you. And it's going to come upon you. That's going to enable you to go through the specific trial that you might be going through right now. Believing that God is my Redeemer. God is the one who is able to take me through. Well, let's skip a whole bunch of that. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. The Apostle Paul spoke to Timothy, and he said these words, "I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands." Now, Timothy was in kind of a spot. He was a young man, and he was given charge over a lot of people to pastor them. And it seemed like he may have been a bit... he was persecuted by other people around him, trying to tell him how to do things and so forth. But Paul said to him, he said, "Timothy, I remind you to stir up the gift of God. Stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." So he said, something happened to Timothy. Paul laid his hand upon him and imparted something from God to Timothy. Paul said to Timothy, "Now, Timothy, I want you to stir up that gift that's in you. I want you to stir up the gift of God that is in you, because you've got a job to do, you've got a work to do, you've got a position to hold amongst your people, and you need the gift of God in you to be able to do that." Now, people, I want to tell you very clearly, this day and age that we live in, you need the gift of God to be the parent that you need to be. You need the gift of God in you to be the grandparent that you need to be. You need the gift of God to be the student that you need to be. You need the gift of God in you to function in this world according to the way God has designed you to. If you're a school teacher, you need the gift of God in you to be a school teacher in this worldly system. And Paul said to Timothy, stir up that gift that is within you. Stir it up. Do something that will be bold in proclaiming those things that you know is right. Don't take lightly the gift that is in you. Now, if it was a gift from God, that means it never came really from Paul. It came from God himself. And Paul is exhorting Timothy, don't just let that lay dormant. Don't just let that lay silent. Sometimes we get born again. We come out of a lifestyle that hasn't been too healthy. And we walk out of that lifestyle and we come into the kingdom of God. And we've noticed some things drop off of our lives. And we get so excited. It is so wonderful to know that our sins are forgiven. We get excited about that. The very fact that our sins are forgiven. We get a lot of zeal and excited about it. And you know, that has come from God. That excitement, that zeal has come from God. That joy of knowing your sins are forgiven has come from God. That is a gift from God. But yet, so many of us, sometimes we come and we enjoy that for a while, but after a while we get used to it. And it begins to, we're not as excited about it as we used to be. We just take it for granted. But yet, that gift of God is still there, and Paul is saying, stir it up. Remember where you've come from. Remember what God has done for you. Remember, stir those things up. Just meditate on those things. That's a way of stirring them up. Thinking about, you were lost one time, you were on your way to hell, but God came in, gave you the gift of life, and now you don't have to go to hell. Meditate on that, you'll get happy.
Amen. Amen.
I mean, I sure will. I just need to think of that fact, that I was going to hell. Now, when I die, I don't have to go to hell. Glory to God. That is something to get excited about. Glory to Jesus. I could talk about that for ages. I mean, just to know that once I didn't even know if I believed in God at all, and I made a crazy, unbelieving prayer in a way, but yet God even answered it when I said, God, I don't know if you're real or not, but if you're real, come into my life. I don't want to die and go to hell. And he did.
Amen.
Glory to Jesus. I mean, that's something to get happy about. Praise the Lord. Stir up the gift of God that is within you. People, I'm convinced that not only are we to stir up the gift of God for ourselves, but if you and I will begin to stir these things up, look into the fact that we have been created for a higher plane than what we live on, there will be something about that that will take place that will begin to draw the miraculous to take place in our midst. I'm believing God that we're going to see the miraculous like we have never seen before. I have seen the miraculous. I've seen God do some things. I've seen some, but I haven't seen nothing compared to what God wants to do. I've been praying about the direction that God wants to take us in. For some times I felt the Lord just kind of, you know, in a still, quiet voice. When I say I felt the Lord say something to me, I don't mean that there was a booming voice or I heard anything, but just a knowing on the inside of me that we were to start a monthly healing service at our church here on a Sunday night, a monthly healing service. It was interesting. I was thinking about that. Last Sunday morning, as I was worshiping, I felt the Lord speak to me about that again, a little stronger impression to begin doing that. And last Sunday afternoon, I got this phone call. The phone call said, "Hi, is this Faith Works Church?" And I said, "Yes, it is." Said, "Do you have healing services there? Do you have a monthly healing service?" Is what they said, something like that. And I thought, I never got really a call like that before. I thought, you know, this is the way God speaks to us sometimes. He puts something in. Now, I'm not led by a phone call, but something was already happening in my spirit. There was something stirring in my spirit already of the direction that we should go in. So we're going to begin that. We're going to begin having monthly healing service. I'm going to be instructing us to pray before those services. I'm just to be able to lay down a bed of prayer for those services to be able to land in. And I'm expecting the supernatural to take place. I'm expecting healings. I mean, I'm expecting miracles to take place because miracles are a part of the kingdom of God. And in this life, in this sphere that we live in this natural realm, you and I, God expects us to be able to be used the way even Jesus was in bringing healing to individuals. Look at the book of Acts and we'll see over and over again, people were healed by the power of God. I'm going to tell you one story as I finish. Back in the early 20th century, this guy by the name of John G. Lake, who went to Africa, and God, he had a miraculous ministry of healing. God used him tremendously, and he had a tremendous revelation about the power of God being upon him. When he got there in around 1910, there was a terrible plague. He was there earlier, but he went back to the United States and then came back. And when he got back this particular time, there was a terrible plague in South Africa. There was over 50,000 people who had died, and there was many, many people dying. And the government was offering people the big money if they would go in and bury the people who were dying. Nobody wanted to go near them. It was a plague. And they thought they'd get the disease. And so John G. Lake and his friend offered to do it for nothing. And so he went in and he began dragging these people out of their homes and take them and bury them. And the scientists in the area heard about this and they were wondering what he was doing in order to protect himself against this plague. And so they came to him and interviewed him and said, "Well," he said, "all I can say is I believe that God's life is in me and death can't stand in God's life." And so he challenged them. He told the scientist to take some of the froth that came out of a dead person's lungs and put it under a microscope. And they did, and there was all kinds of germs that were there causing this plague, and they were all alive and so forth. And then he said, put it on my hand. And they were kind of astonished. And they put it on his hand, and then he said, now put it under a microscope. And when they did, all the germs were dead. And he believed that the power of God, the anointing of God, was on his life in such a fashion that death germs couldn't stay alive when it touched his body, his anointing. Amen. Now, you might say, well, this is an interesting story, but it's just a story. Well, it is in a way, but it's coming from a man that it is documented in Spokane, Washington, that God used to bring over 100,000 people to health in Spokane, Washington. And at that particular time, the newspapers in the United States were showing Spokane, Washington as the healthiest city in the United States. Amen. And they attributed it to the healing rooms of that John G. Lake started. Amen. If God does it once, he can do it again. Amen. Amen? He can do it in your life and my life. The anointing of God can transform your life if you'll pay attention to it. There's so many things that I want to get over to us. I want us to get into a place where we are so expecting the power of God to move. In my life and in the life of the church. Oh, stand with me, please. Now, even now, I want you to be preparing to pray. To pray for the healing services that we are about to enter into. The healing services that we are about to enter into, they will be just a meeting, or we'll see the power of God that will transform not only your life. You need to get excited about seeing somebody else's life transformed. Get excited about it. You see what God has done for you. Now think about it. God could do it for somebody else. When you realize that God has done something for you, you know that we like to say that we need to look at ourselves as somebody that God sees as special. And that's true. But God sees everybody as special. Everybody. He doesn't treat us the way we treat one another sometimes. He treats everybody as special. He cares for everybody. And he doesn't want to leave one behind. And he doesn't want one person eating crumbs when the rest are having a feast. He desires for us all to walk into the blessing of God. And he has it for you. I want you to put your hands up to God like this, as if you're receiving something, not in the time of worship, but receiving. And say this with me. Heavenly Father, I love you, God. I love what you say is available to me. I thank you that you have made me your child, and you have declared that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. I receive right now the gift and gifts you have for me. In the name of Jesus, I thank you that as you instruct me, I will use these gifts according to your plan and purpose for my life. I declare this before you, before the angels of God, before the Holy Spirit,